Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Maesta Panels, Chapter 23. Martini's chauffeur continued showcasing his impressive driving skills, hooking left, then right, finally arriving at a forested area well within the city limits. The car swiftly crossed the tree-lined entrance into a wide open circular area, shielded by the thick foliage. In the center was a glimmering, streamlined helicopter, resting on an octagonal launch pad. The vehicle stopped. Martini, Julia, and Wade quickly exited and streaked towards the rotorcraft. They embarked, taking the same seating positions as they had in the car, closed the doors, and secured their seatbelts. Martini gave a thumbs up to the pilot, who already had the aircraft operating in standby mode. The chopper smoothly lifted from the helipad and gained altitude, exposing an impressive aerial view of the surroundings. Julia watched Martini's car successfully escape the wooded enclosure, just as the menacing dark sedan and its occupants entered the launch area, surely frustrated by the sight of the departing metallic bird. Wade was not well. The helicopter's body was filled with the loud noise of twirling propellers and powerful engines. His ears and brain were inundated by a whirlpool of sounds. The cacophony outside and inside his head was overwhelming. The pain was sharp, acute. He sat back. Closing his eyes would not help, and usually led to kinetosis, motion sickness. Julia paid no attention to him, instead choosing this odd moment to inspect the wound she sustained during their highway misadventure, thinking it might have healed sufficiently to warrant removal of the bandage. She gently pulled back the dressing on her arm, exposing the superficial laceration. The premature removal of the bandage caused the scab to break. The wound had not yet completely healed and began to bleed again. Wade noticed Julia's actions and now faced his twin foes, blood and noise. Bloody noise, he mused to himself, bloody noise. Once the whirlybird reached its desired altitude, everything stabilized. Julia rebandaged her wound. The occupants remained still and quiet for several minutes. Wade felt better. Martini was the first to move and talk. He reached back and gave his valued passengers each a headpiece equipped with microphone and listening device. Can you hear me? Wade and Julia each gave a thumbs up. Martini looked pleased and relieved. This 4-seat turbine copter can reach average cruising speeds between 130 and 145 miles per hour, said Martini. It should take us about 1 hour to get to Florence. Martini then addressed his pilot. Make the landing arrangements. Hearing this, the pilot changed his communication channel to an external frequency, leaving his passengers to talk amongst themselves. We've got to find out who those two men are, Wade declared in a desperate tone. This might help, Julia said, handing Wade a smartphone. What's this? He said, grabbing the device with curiosity. It's their phone, she smiled triumphantly. I took it from the front dash of their unlocked sedan in the chapel parking lot. When? Wade responded in amazement. Just as we were running to Mr. Martini's car. It only took a few seconds. Wade looked back at the phone with glee and spontaneously kissed Julia on the lips, startling her. He then looked out the window and began thinking. Why Florence, Mr. Wade? Asked Martini. Let me first sort some things out. I'll explain a bit later. This seemed to satisfy both Julia and Martini. Wade used the next 60 minutes to concentrate and explore the plausibility of his chapel revelation. He reviewed his accumulated case documentation, performed fresh research on his mobile, and contacted the newest and youngest member of Denari. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you enjoyed the listen.